Well, good morning. This is another beautiful day in May. All kinds of rain and sunshine and cold one day and hot the next, and who knows? This is crazy weather for me. But we're glad that you're here this morning on this 24th day of May, and I hope that you are doing well. We are having a drive-in service today, and next week, and then on June 7th, we'll be back together, and I hope that you'll be here. We've been doing surveys to see who all is willing to come, and we're going to have two services, and as of right now, they're going to be at first one at 9 o'clock and the second one at 11 o'clock, and we will inform you, depending on your choice, as to the one that you'll be attending. So this morning, we're going to be back in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 28 and read down through verse 31. And verse 28 is talking about Moses. So as I read that, you'll know that when it says that it's referring back to Moses. So verse 28, it says in chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, by faith, he, being Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days, and by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. 1 John 5:4, the Apostle John said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You and I cannot live in our own strength. We can try, but we're not going to achieve much for the Lord Jesus if we try to do that. The problems and the difficulties of our life are just too severe for us to try to live in our own strength. So we need to depend on God on a daily basis to survive in the world that we're living in. If you walk into a darkened room and you go into that room, you can't see anything, what do you do? Well, you go over to the wall and you begin to feel around until you find the switch. And when you find that switch, you flip it up and the lights come on in the room, and then you're able to see. Well, faith is that switch that turns on the power of God in our life on a daily basis. So that's why all through this chapter, you'll notice that little phrase, by faith. All of the chapter is to show us what faith does in our life when we're willing to claim the power of God on a daily basis. Verse 28 moves us very quickly from the life of Moses to the children of Israel. So we're going to learn, well, today anyway, what faith does in the life of an entire nation, in addition to what it does in the lives of individual people, such as Moses. Now, the history of the children of Israel is given to us in the Word of God as a tremendous object lesson of what God can do in the lives of a people and what He can still do in the lives of a people of God today. So the Spirit of God in these verses gives us three illustrations from the life of the nation of Israel to show us what faith can do. Number one, faith brings us out. Verse 28 again, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I want to call your attention to that word, Passover. What we want to do is go back into the Old Testament and understand as best as we can the meaning of that term, Passover. Now, back in Exodus chapter 12, it gives us the historical account of the Passover as the children of Egypt, there's the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, and God had sent Moses to Pharaoh with the message that God said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, when Pharaoh refused, There was a series of plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians, and nine of those plagues had already happened at that point in time when we get to Exodus chapter 12. And Moses once again went to Pharaoh and said to him, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, I'm not going to let them go. So God says, I'm going to send the death angel through the land, and the firstborn of all the people will be put to death when the death angel passes through the land. So God instituted, as a result of that, a very special ceremony to help the people of God to deal with that particular crisis time. In Exodus chapter 12, we're told how the Passover feast was to be instituted. We're told several things about that meal that has to do with a lamb. And of course, you and I understand that the Old Testament experience is used in a spiritual way to illustrate what Christ's death at Calvary means to us and to illustrate the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse us from our sin. There are several things I want you to notice about the lamb. Exodus 12:3 says that every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Now I want you to notice the progression of thought through that verse. In verse 3, he says, a lamb, take a lamb. If you go down to verse number 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. The progression of thought is, first of all, there's a lamb, but then it's your lamb. He's saying that the lamb had to be personal. You see, not only is Jesus the Savior, he needs to be your Savior. So have you this morning personally received the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin? Have you received him as Lord and Savior of your life? It was the death of that lamb that night that took the place of the death of the people. It either had to be the death of that child or the death of the lamb. And it didn't have to be a child. It's the firstborn. He could be an adult at that particular time, but it was the firstborn. So if the lamb didn't get slain or didn't get offered up as a sacrifice, then that firstborn would die in that family. So the lamb was a substitute lamb. He substituted the lamb for that firstborn in the family. And we know that's exactly the meaning of the cross of Calvary. Jesus died on the cross not for his sins, but for our sins. So the wonderful message of the cross is that Jesus is our substitute. He took our place on Calvary's cross. He is a substitute lamb. But he's also a special lamb. Look at verse 5. It says, your lamb, and this is back in Exodus chapter 12, your lamb shall be without blemish. There couldn't be any flaw. There couldn't be any mark. There couldn't be any blemish on that lamb. That reminds us that Jesus was sinless in order to be our substitute. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There was no sin in the life of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus came to the very climax of his life and was arrested by the civil and the religious authorities, Judas, who betrayed him, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Pontius Pilate, the very man who gave sentence of death upon him, said, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Word of God says that all of our sins were laid on him. And it continues to say that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And of course, that's out of Romans. The spotless, sinless, special Lamb of God. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to be a special lamb. He was the lamb. He was the sinless lamb. And he died on that cross for our sins. But the lamb had to be slain. In verse 6 of Exodus chapter 12, it says, now you shall keep the lamb until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. The reference there, of course, is to the slaying of that lamb. It's not enough merely for Jesus to come and live a perfect life. The lamb had to be slain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Jesus is our Passover. He was a Passover lamb for our sins. So the children of Israel, by faith in the blood of the lamb, were brought out. But now I want to point out something to you very, very important. We're told that it was a sprinkling of the blood over the doorposts of the home of the children of Israel that protected them when the death angel came through and passed over the land. So in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 12, it says, "And they shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." In other words, they took a piece of hyssop, they applied the shed blood of the lamb, and they put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house. And that blood was a sign to the death angel that he was to pass over that particular house and move on, because those who were inside were feasting upon the lamb that had been sacrificed, whose blood had been put on the outside of the house. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, it said, "Now the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." You see, it wasn't enough for the blood just to be shed. The blood of the lamb had to be applied. And only those where the blood was applied were saved as the death angel passed over them. So that is really a very important thing, because Passover is simply a beautiful Old Testament illustration of the application of the blood of the Lord Jesus by faith to our lives that spares us from the penalty of death for our sins. Because one of these days when we leave this world, if the blood has been applied to our life, the blood of Jesus, then we're not going to be condemned for our sins, but we're going to be welcomed into the very presence of heaven. I don't have the words to explain everything that's intended, but in some way, by faith, when we invite Jesus into our lives, the blood of Jesus is applied to our hearts and to our lives, and the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you and I come to the Lord Jesus, it means death for our sins have been averted, and it means heaven has been assured, because we are now under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a very personal question this morning. Are you under the blood today? Are you under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received the shed blood of the Lord Jesus as an atonement for your sin? Well, if you haven't, then today could be a red letter day for you. If you would just give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, you could become a brand new person today if you receive him into your life and by faith trust him as your Lord and your Savior. Faith brings Jesus, brings us out of that old sin and that old death, and faith brings in the Lord Jesus Christ our life. But then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, the second lesson that we learned this morning about what faith does in our lives is that faith brings us through. Now, the account referred to in verse number 29 is of the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea. God had delivered them from the death angel that night as the Passover occurred. The blood had been applied. The death angel had passed over, and the Lord said to Moses, "Okay, Moses, it's time to take them out." And they had been in bondage all through these years, but now they were on their way to the promised land. But meanwhile, back in the palace, Pharaoh began to have second thoughts about releasing the children of Israel, because they were his labor force, they were his slaves, and they were his labor force building all the things that he was having built. And he decided, "I'm not going to let them go after all." So he sent his army after them. And when the Israelites got to the Red Sea, they looked in front of them and all they could see was their sea. But when they looked behind them, here comes Pharaoh and the army coming after them, and they find themselves in a very difficult circumstance. But you see, what we have illustrated here is a picture of saints who are now getting ready to learn the lesson that you can trust God to bring you through the difficulties of your life. Now, one of the mistakes that sometimes we make as Christians, especially when we first come to know the Lord is that we think that when we first come to know the Lord, that the Lord's just going to remove all the difficulties of our life, that we're not going to have any more problems. Well, I've got news for you. Sometimes when you come to the Lord, it not only doesn't eliminate difficulties, sometimes it adds difficulties in your life, because now you are in direct opposition to Satan, and he doesn't like that. You're in direct opposition to the world. The world doesn't like that. And you can get even more difficulties from the world and Satan attacking you, trying to get you to deny your faith or to turn back from your faith. So sometimes you find yourself at one of those kind of cul-de-sacs of life. You've come to a place where there seems to be no way out. The problems of life mount like the waters of the Red Sea are all around you, and you wonder, what am I going to do? You get into those situations where the waters of danger and difficulty are swarming and swirling around you. Well, in Exodus chapter 14, we have recorded what God told Moses to tell the people to do. And basically, God told Moses to tell them to do something that they didn't want to do, because God said, tell them just to stand still. I mean, here comes the army of Pharaoh. There's the Red Sea. And God said, just stand still. Stand still. I don't know about you, but when I've got difficulties, the last thing I want to do is just be still. I matter of fact, probably the first thing I want to do is run. You know, run to try to find the answer, run to try to do something to get me out of the mess that I'm in. I mean, you know, try to get just as far away from the problem as I possibly can. But God said, you tell them to stand still. And he said, and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, you and I panic, folks, but God never panics. There are no panic attacks in heaven, only plans. God knew all the time when they got to that Red Sea. He knew all the time what he was going to do for them. So God told Moses to stretch his hand out over the sea. And when Moses did that, God sent an east wind, and the waters of the Red Sea parted right in front of their very eyes. You see, faith is willing to wait on God. Find out what God's plan is. Plug yourself into God's plan and let God work out his plan through your life. That's what faith does. And when they did that, they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Now, we know that the Egyptians thought that they could do the same thing. And when they started going through there, that the waters began to cave in on them and they drowned. See, the same waters that delivered the Israelites destroyed the Egyptians. What was the difference? Faith. That was the difference. Faith. It's exciting when you think about when you're going under and God just kind of separates the sea and lets you walk on dry land. You know, you're going through that hard time and it just seems like he parts the way for you and he just lets you walk through those circumstances. And there are times in your life as a Christian that you're going to get in circumstances and you won't know what in the world to do. You don't have any idea. You feel like you're totally trapped. There seems like there's nowhere to move. But God will always provide a way if you'll just trust him and believe in him. Corrie ten Boom said this one time. She says, look around and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed. But look at Jesus and be at rest. And folks, that's what we need to do. By faith, when we look at the Lord Jesus, we can have rest and assurance when we know that God is going to do whatever it takes to help us get through the time that we're going through. So we need to be patient. We need to be still. We need to talk to the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. We need to put our confidence in him because he's got a plan for our life. He's working it out. And just when you think you're about to go under, God will part the water. You won't go under because faith will bring you through. Well, the third thing I want you to see this morning is that faith brings us in. Now in verses 30 and 31, we come to the experience of the children of Israel as they have now entered into the promised land. And as they enter in, they are met with formidable stronghold. There's a city of Jericho there. And the walls of Jericho were supposed to be impregnable. Those who study these kind of things said that the walls of Jericho were probably so thick that two chariots could drive on the top of that wall side by side going around the walls of Jericho. That's how thick the wall of Jericho was supposed to be. It seemed like it was absolutely insurmountable obstacle in front of them to get through the walls of Jericho. How could they do that? How in the world could they do that? Can you imagine how they felt to cross over the Jordan? The first thing they see is a stronghold of opposition with walls that thick. You know, that's the thing that happens to a lot of Christians when they make up their minds that they want to live by faith in the Lord Jesus. And when they turn around, staring them right in the face is a Jericho. Something in their life that just stands there in front of them, and it seems like it's insurmountable. I just can't get through this, we think. I can't do this. I mean, it may be some entrenched habit in your life that you just can't seem to shake it. You know, you've got a habit that you had before you got saved, and you're trying to break it, but it just seems like it's there. It just seems like it's hanging on, and it looks like a Jericho in front of you. Or maybe it's a friend who is just poison to you. I mean, they're a friend from the past, and they are just bringing poison in your life, and you just seem like you just can't get away from them. They've got shackles around you, and you just can't get loose. They're like a Jericho in your life. They try to keep dragging you down. Or maybe it's some weakness in your personality, and you're battling it, and it becomes your Jericho. It's an obstacle. It's a stronghold in your life, and you think, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, that's what happened to the children of Israel. So what were they going to do? Well, we're going to see the collapse of a stronghold. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in a big line every day. I want the priests to have the ram's horns, the trumpets. And every day, I want you to walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times with those priests blowing the horns, but the people are not to say a word. Excuse me, Lord, what did you say? You know, can you imagine that? The people were not to say a word. And I can imagine they were saying, Lord, are you sure that's what you want us to do? Isn't there a better plan than that? That doesn't look like it'd do much good to me. You know, sometimes when God gives us his plan, we don't understand it. We think, well, my plan would be better. But folks, listen, it's not. You see, they ultimately obeyed God. They did what God told them to do. Faith is doing what God says to do. That's what faith is. Even though you don't understand it, even though you can't even comprehend it, faith is doing what God wants you to do. So when you talk by faith, about faith, and when you walk by faith, the world looks at you and think, man, that is absolutely ridiculous. What are they thinking? And I can imagine that the folks in Jericho who were standing up on those walls looking down at them thought the same thing about the children of Israel. No doubt, as they were walking around them, they were making fun of the nation of Israel. They were laughing at them as they were walking around the wall, blowing the trumpets, not saying a word. And they were probably calling them all kinds of names and doing all kinds of things to try to, get them rattled. But that's exactly the way this world looks at people who live by faith. They look at us the same way that the people in Jericho looked at the nation of Israel. But folks, you'll never go wrong putting your confidence in God. So they did what God said to do. And then on the 7th day, God said this. He said, you go around the wall 7 times and don't make a sound. And then on that 7th time around, I want all the people to shout. And of course, we know the story that when they did that, when they shouted, the walls of Jericho began to shake. And the walls, as the old song says, and the walls of Jericho came a tumbling down. And the nation of Israel went in and took the stronghold. Folks, that's what faith does. Faith brings you in when you trust the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You got a stronghold in your life this morning? God can help you pull that down. God can absolutely get that out of your life and let you be victorious in your life. Don't let a stronghold keep you from serving the Lord Jesus. He has the power to help you overcome that stronghold and have a victory in your life. So that was the collapse of a stronghold. But secondly, I want you to see the conversion of a sinner, because in verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Now, everything about this woman was a disgrace. She was a Gentile. That means she was an outcast. She was a prostitute, and she was living in the city of Jericho. Well, you see, Rahab had heard what God had done at the Red Sea, and all she had was just a little fragment of the truth of what God had done, but she took that little fragment into her heart, and she believed it, and she had faith in the God of Israel. By faith, she believed the word of God, and the Bible says that she demonstrated her faith by taking in the spies that went there to spy out the city, and by hiding the spies, she had put confidence in what the word of God had said and what the little bit of the word of God that she knew. And you know what God did for Rahab? God took her from the house of shame, and he put her here in his hall of fame. Isn't that wonderful? From the house of shame to the hall of fame, and he made her a member of the family of God. And as we saw just a couple weeks ago on Mother's Day, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she is included in the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a powerful thing to me. I think that is a glorious thing. I mean, here is Rahab the harlot. She trusted what God had said. She knew what God had done. She believed in his power. She believed in him. She kept the spies safe. And God rewarded her for her faith, made her a family, a part of his family, and let her be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that's what Jesus can do for a sinner. He can do the same for you today. He can do the same thing for you. And if you're willing to admit that you're a sinner and believe in your heart that Jesus died for you on that cross and he shed his blood for you, and if you're willing by faith simply to confess your sin and believe in him and let him come into your life, he will do the same thing for you that he did for Rahab. He will take you out of this world and he will make you a member of his holy family. Maybe you need to do that today. Folks, listen. God's faith will bring us out. God's faith will bring us through. And God's faith will bring us in. And the greatest thing that we can do is be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope today that you will do that if you've never done that before. By faith, trust what the Lord has done for you on Calvary's cross. He was our Passover lamb. He died as a substitute for us. He died in our place. He died in your place. And all you have to do is believe what he did, trust him, repent of your sin, and ask Jesus to come into your life. And the Bible says he'll save you. He'll give you a new life. He'll make you a new creation, a new creature in him. And he has some wonderful plans for you out there in the future. And I know there may be a lot of strongholds in your life, but let me tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than any stronghold the devil will put in your pathway. And God can destroy that and help you go on victorious. And I pray that as a believer today, that your faith is allowing you to live a victorious life. Because in faith, we have victory. We are victorious. As James says, We're overcomers because of the faith that we have. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I pray that you're living a faith-filled life, a faithful life, and that you're trusting the Lord Jesus every single day. Let me pray with you as we close. Father, I'm so thankful that you give us, Lord, these little clips of people's lives that we can look at, and their illustrations to us of what you can do in our life. Lord, these were just common, ordinary people like we are, but you did extraordinary things in their lives. And Lord, that you did some things in their lives that we can't even imagine, but Lord, you want to do the same with us. Lord, I pray you'd help us as believers to live by faith in you every single day. Lord, that we would not waver, that we would not fall to the strongholds in our life, but we'd be overcomers. And Lord, that we would blast through those strongholds with the power of your Spirit, and we would live victorious lives for you. Help us to be the witnesses that you've called us to be. Lord, help us to stand strong in this world that's constantly attacking. Lord, we are overcomers, and we don't have to yield to the ways of the world or to the temptations of Satan, because we have your Holy Spirit living in our life. Father, I pray today, if there's one that has been watching that needs you in their life, they need to trust you as Lord and Savior. They need the blood of you being applied to their heart so that they can be saved. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just let them call upon you right now. Lord, give them that peace that they need to do that. And Lord, give them the willingness to do that. And Lord, just help them as they do that. And Lord, once they do it, you're there waiting for them with arms open wide to receive them into your family. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful promise. And thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you have given to us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd be with those who are hurting today. I pray for Willie and Shirlene's granddaughter, Allison, Lord, that you would continue to touch her. God, I pray that the reports would come back good. And Lord, that you would just give her peace in her life. And Lord, give them the whole family. Just let them know that you're working on this, Lord, that you are going to allow her to overcome this disease. And Lord, I pray for so many others that are hurting today as well. And in my own family, Lord, I pray for those who are hurting. And God, I pray for so many others in our church family. I pray for Vicki Anderson as she lost her sister this week. And God, that you would just comfort their hearts and that you continue to be with them through this sad time. But Lord, I know there's many others who are going through troubles and struggles in their life. And I pray that you would uplift them. God, just help them to see the path that they need to walk. And Lord, let them know that you're with them every step of the way. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for your willingness to be our substitute. And we praise you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray that you have a great day. And we will see you next Sunday, same time, same station. Anyway, you know where we're at. Come find us. Bye-bye.